that God has given me tonight. And tonight I'm going to preach a sermon entitled, I Once Was Blind, But Now I See. For all my kids who have notebooks with them tonight, the word that I want you to listen for is the word see. See, S-E-E, I see you. And so that's the word I want you to listen for tonight. I want to tell you, I struggled over this sermon. I didn't know where God wanted me to go, and God just led me to this scripture. And as a matter of fact, yesterday afternoon, and I am just excited about how God's laid this out in my heart tonight. I want you to open your Bibles with me, if you will. Amen. Acts chapter 9. Going to begin reading in verse number 1. Acts chapter 9, verse number 1. Let me get to the right place. I was about to read Mark 5. That was this morning. Amen. Praise the Lord. Acts chapter 9, beginning in verse number 1. Very familiar story tonight. The New King James Version reads this way. Then Saul, still breathing threats and murders against the disciples of the Lord, went to the high priest and asked letters from him to the synagogues of Damascus, so that if he found any who were in the way, whether men or women, he might bring them bound to Jerusalem. As he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly a light shone around him from heaven. Then he fell to the ground and heard a voice say to him, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? And he said, who are you, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting. It is hard for you to kick against the goads. So he, trembling and astonished, said, Lord, what do you want me to do? Then the Lord said to him, arise and go into the city, and you will be told what you must do. And the men who journeyed with him stood speechless, hearing a voice, but seeing no one. Then Paul arose from the ground, and when his eyes were open, he saw no one. But he led them by the hand and brought him into Damascus. And he was there 3 days without sight, and neither ate nor drank. Now there was a certain disciple in Damascus named Ananias. And to him the Lord had said in a vision, Ananias, and he said, here I am, Lord. And so the Lord said to him, arise and go to the street called Straight and inquire the house of Judas for one called Saul of Tarsus. For behold, he is praying. And in a vision, he has seen a man named Ananias coming in and putting his hands on him so he may receive his sight. Ananias answered, Lord, I have heard from many about this man, how much harm he has done to your saints in Jerusalem. And here he is, and here he has authority from the chief priests to bind all who call on your name. But the Lord said to him, go, for he is a chosen vessel of mine to bear my name before Gentiles, kings, and the children of Israel. And I will show him how many things he must suffer for my name's sake. And Ananias went his way and entered the house, and laying hands on him said, Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on the road as you came, has sent me that you may receive your sight and be filled with the Holy Spirit. And immediately he fell, and immediately there fell from his eyes something like scales. And he received his sight at once, and he arose and was baptized. So when he received food and had strengthened, then Saul spent some days with the disciples at Damascus. Immediately he preached the Christ in the synagogues, and he is the Son of God. Then all who heard him were amazed and said, Is this not he who destroyed those who called on his name in Jerusalem? And has come here for that purpose, so that he might bring them bound to the chief priests. But Saul increased all the more in strength and confounded the Jews who dwelt in Damascus, proving that this Jesus is Christ. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we come to you right now. And Lord, I ask that as I go into this service, Lord Jesus, that you would open up blinded eyes. Lord, I once was blind, but now I see. And Lord, I want you to reach down with your power, reach down with your anointing. And Lord Jesus, show me and show others, Lord, how that we can let the scales fall off of our eyes. Let us walk out of this place with perfect sight. In Jesus' name, amen. I once was blind, but now I see. Famous refrain from a classic song. It's amazing how much power and strength comes when we think about that a beautiful, amazing grace. But in the words of that song, it says, comes to that line where it says, I once was lost, but now I'm found. I once was blind, but now I see. Let me tell you something. Every one of us have lived blind. Maybe not physically blind, but we have lived blind. Blind to God's power, blind to God's anointing, blind to God's strength, blind to God's knowledge, blind to God's understanding. But when we find the amazing grace of Jesus Christ, we find sight. And we begin to be able to see things clearly. We look out and we begin to see what we've never seen before. I every time I talk about sight, every time I talk about blindness, and I got to go back to Sister Wanda. When Sister Wanda had eye surgery, she was working up here in the office about one day a week. And I'll never forget. Now, we all know Sister Wanda, or as I often call her, sandpaper. We all know she's sort of straightforward. And I tell her all the time, her calling in life is to knock the rough edges off of everybody. And she's a tough lady. But I sat in my office, and I'm going to tell you a couple times, almost teetering between laughter and tears, because I heard her walking around the church and walking around the office going, wow, that's pink. Pink is a beautiful color. That's blue. And she was like a little kid. Why? Because she had been blind. She had seen without seeing. She could look at something, but she wasn't able to see it until something changed her eyes. And then when she began to see what was in front of her, she realized the beauty of the things that she had never noticed. She told me that day, I went in the office, I said, it is so fun listening. She goes, Pastor, I'm seeing colors I've never seen before. I didn't know they existed. Why? Because she once was blind, but now she sees. I'm going to tell you something. When we begin to understand where we're blind, do you know that a blind person doesn't always know they're blind? My daughter, she was in my youth group in Moore, Oklahoma. She was 13, 14 when we met her. She had not met her father yet. And when I met her, she had an attitude. Matter of fact, when I met her, first words out of her mouth was, I hate you. And I said, go right ahead. And I looked at her and I said, you got an attitude, but I got a bigger one. I said, so let's see who has more attitude, me or you. Now, 24 years later, she's my daughter. She doesn't hate me anymore, she's my daughter. When she was 12 years old, they took her to the doctor. And they told her something that she could not understand. They told her that she was completely blind in one of her eyes. And I can't remember now which. I think it was the right eye, but I'm not for sure. And it said, they told her that she was completely blind. And she didn't believe them, because all she had ever known was sight from one eye. She did not realize this other eye didn't work. She did not realize that it wasn't working right, because all she understood was one eye. Can I tell you, that's how we live life? Sometimes we walk through life blind because we don't know what sight looks like. We walk through life, we think we know, until God comes down and we begin to see what is really in front of us, and then we go, whoa, where did that come from? I remember 10 years ago or longer. Actually, probably more like 18 years ago. I went to an eye doctor. And I'd have told you I had 20/20 vision back then. Until he started flicking things in front of my eyes. And I went, that's what that's supposed to look like? I forgot what letters were supposed to look like. I thought they were all fuzzy. No. Now, I'm going to tell you now, I know I don't have 20/20 eyesight anymore. I bought a giant print Bible, and I still have to wear my glasses. My son told me I need to get a Bible that had one word per page on it. It would be a long Bible. Let me tell you something. Sometimes you think you see, but in reality you're blind. You think what you're looking at is true until you get the glass in front of you, until you magnify it. And then all of a sudden you begin to realize that you were really blind. Now I lay all this groundwork down and I read this story that we all know so well. But as God began to walk me through this story, I began to realize how many blindnesses, how many people who could not see that Christ came in and changed. The first thing that I see is that Paul could not see. Paul could not see what was in front of him. Let me read this first two verses. Pastor cannot see. Then Saul, still breathing threats and murders against the disciples of the Lord, went to the high priest and asked letters from him to go to the synagogues of Damascus so that if he found any who were in the way, whether men or women, he might bring them bound to Jerusalem. Now let me explain that passage of Scripture to you in terms that you understand. Now Saul, still angry about the disciples of Jesus, went to the pastor. Well, let's change that. Went to the state overseer. Went to the bishop. And asked him for permission that he would send a letter to the church that was at Damascus. So that when he got there, if he found anybody that was following the way, this new church, this new move, this new gospel, that he could bind them and bring them back. Here's what I want you to see in that statement. Paul could not see that what he was looking at was not what he thought it was. He was going through the church. According to the way he thought in his mind, what he was seeing was an attack against his faith. According to what he knew, according to what he thought, because he was walking in the blindness, if I don't get rid of these disciples, they're going to destroy Judaism. And I am going to defend it. I got news for you, folks. There's a lot of people walking around churches today bound and determined to drive out what's going to destroy their church, when in reality the problem is they don't see that what they are doing is driving out the anointing of God that is coming into their church. You see, we think that we know the right way. We think that we see it right, but Paul could not see. He could not see that the problem was not the way. That's what they called the followers, the disciples. The problem was not the move of Jesus Christ. The problem was that they had not seen the Messiah. When we quit looking at what we think we know, and we start letting Christ open up our eyes to see what we need to see, everything changes. The same fight, and we're going to get to his vision later, but the same fight with which Paul fought to save the church, in just a couple of days, he's going to be fighting to win the church. Why? What changed? Why did he go from holding Stephen's coat to writing 2/3 of the New Testament? What changed in his life? Where did he go from wanting to kill them to wanting to teach them? I tell you what happened. His eyes were opened. He found sight. He once was blind. But pretty soon, he's going to see. Church, my biggest fear in my life and the life of people that are in my church, both this body and the body that is the church of God around the world and the body of believers that is in all church denominations around the world. My greatest fear is that we're preaching blind. We're not seeing it. We don't see what God wants to do. All we see is what used to be. We see how it used to happen. We see how this was, and we don't understand. God, I don't understand what you're doing. I need you to open my eyes. I'm going to tell you, God will open your eyes. God will open your eyes. But if we continue to walk down a path where we don't see, where we're not seeing God's will, we're not seeing God's heart, we're not seeing God's passion, I pray all the time, God, let me see the way you see. You know why I pray that? Because I don't want to look at people the way I do. I want to look at people in the light of Christ. I want to look at people the way Jesus sees them. I need God to open my eyes. Paul could not see. As we read on through this passage, we find that not only could Paul not see, Paul lost his sight. Pastor, you're getting redundant. No. Talking about two different things now. Look here. As he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly a light shone around him from heaven. Now I'm going to stop there real quick. Anybody ever looked into a bright light before? What happens? You can't see. Okay. Then he fell to the ground and heard a voice say to him, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? And he said, who are you, Lord? Then the Lord said, I am Jesus, who you are persecuting. It is hard for you to kick against the goads. So he, trembling and astonished, said, Lord, what do you want me to do? Oh, I love that line. I've been out to destroy you. But all of a sudden, Jesus knocked him off his high horse. Oh, anyway, that's another sermon. Jesus knocked him off his high horse, and he's laying there, and he can't see with his eyes because he's been looking into the light of Jesus Christ. And all of a sudden, he says, who are you? And Jesus said, I am Jesus Christ. Paul's next statement was, what do you want me to do? What do you know why? Because even though he's losing his sight, he's getting his vision. See, he was losing this sight. Physically, he can't see. But all of a sudden now, he is getting vision and he's understanding. This is the one I follow. This is the one I need to obey. God, I need you to tell me what to do. I don't need a high priest to tell me what to do. I don't need a pastor to tell me what to do. I don't need a deacon or an elder to tell me what to do. I need Jesus Christ. I need the power of the Holy Ghost. I need Jesus to show me the way. I love Sunday nights. So he, trembling and astonished, said, Lord, what do you want me to do? And Jesus said, arise and go into the city, and you will be told what to do. And the men who journeyed with him stood speechless, hearing a voice, but seeing no one. Then Saul arose from the ground, and when he opened his eyes, he saw no one. But they led him by the hand and brought him into Damascus. In the midst of his journey, Jesus interrupted his travel. And when Jesus knocked him down, he looked up and he began to have vision. He began to see Jesus, but when he got up and he opened his eyes, he had lost his sight. He had lost his sight. Let me tell you something. He later goes on to say, I live by faith and not by sight. He understood that his faith would guide him where his sight couldn't take him, because he understood vision and sight. I got news for you. Sometimes when you lose sight, when there's some reason you can't see right, you begin to grow in other areas. I've talked to people who didn't have sight, and they tell me that they can hear better. They hear sounds. I've been around people who've never had sight, but man, they can tell you who's coming. I've been around people who don't have sight, and they can tell you who's walking up to them by scent. I know whose BO that is. Tell you something. When you don't have sight, you don't depend on yourself. I've come by here tonight to tell you there's a few of us that we need God to take our sight from us. Because right now we're depending on what we see instead of trusting in what He sees. Because when we look out there, we see trial, we see struggle. Oh, I'm telling you right now, if Paul understood what Jesus was about to call him to do, if Paul understood at that point that he was going to be left for dead, that he was going to be shipwrecked, that he was going to be snake bit, that he was going to be martyred, if he understood that not only all of that, he was going to be the one that was going to take the gospel outside the Jewish faith, and he was going to be the apostle to the Gentiles, Paul might have said, I don't want to go. I can't do that. I don't want to be a part of that. But God said, let me take your sight away so I can give you a vision of what you're supposed to do for me. Paul couldn't see. Paul lost his sight. And excuse me, I should have written Saul, but I always call him Paul. Excuse me for that. I just noticed I did that. You know what? Ooh, I can't see y'all if I look up with these things on. Saul is not the only one having sight problems. Ananias had no vision. If you go on from there, verse number 10 says this. Now there was a certain disciple named at Damascus named Ananias. And the Lord said to him in a vision, notice how the Lord spoke to him, in a vision, it's important. The Lord said to him in a vision, Ananias, and he said, here I am, Lord. Oh, Ananias is a godly man. The Lord sends him a vision, and Ananias says, yes, whatever you need, whatever you want, I'm here for you. He said to him in a vision, and he said, here I am, Lord. So the Lord said to him, arise and go to the street called Straight and inquire in the house of Judas for one called Saul of Tarsus, for behold, he is praying. And in a vision he has seen, notice again, the Lord speaks through a vision. In a vision he has seen a man named Ananias coming in and putting his hands on him so that he might receive his sight. And Ananias answered, Lord, I have heard from many about this man, how much harm he has done to your saints in Jerusalem. And here he has authority from the chief priests to bind all who call on your name. But the Lord said to him, go, for he is a chosen vessel of mine to bear my name before the Gentiles, kings, and the children of Israel. For I will show him many things he must suffer for my name's sake. Now, I got news for you. Here we have Ananias, powerful man of God, chosen man of God. Ananias is a forgotten hero of the Bible. But yet, when the Lord speaks to Ananias in a vision and says, I want you to go and find Saul of Tarsus on the street called Straight, and I want you to pray for him that he receives his sight, Ananias says, whoa, wait a minute. I heard about him. I'm not praying for that guy. He's here to kill us. If I pray for him and he gets his sight, then he will see me serving you and he will bind me and take me back. Ananias had no vision. I'm going to sit down because I'm nicer when I sit down. You know what's wrong with the church today? And when I say the church, I mean Souls Harbor. We don't have any vision. We look out and we see people as they are, not as what God's called them to be. We see them as what they were instead of what they are. I'm going to tell you, I'm going to be honest with you. I've dealt with situations today where I've had to sit down and talk to somebody and say, look, this is what's going around. This is what, and it's all about your reputation. And I fully believe the reputation is no longer valid. But I had to sit with somebody and say, look, you got to be above board. Why? Because there's a lot of Ananiases out there. Well, I know about them. We live in a small town. I've said this once. I've said this 1,000 times. There's going to come a day somebody's going to walk in that door and it's going to be your son's ex-wife who cheated on him. It's going to be your daughter's ex-husband who abused her. It may be your ex-husband that abused you. I've been there too. Not abusing my wife, but I'm going to tell you something. We've got to have enough vision to see beyond where they've been, beyond where they're at, to see what God is sending them to. If God is giving us a vision, our vision has to be brighter and stronger than our sight. Ananias had no vision. When he hears to go pray for Saul, he says, oh, no, not that guy. He's rough. He's tough. He's scary. I don't want to be the one that brought him back up. I don't want to be the one responsible. What he did not understand is God had called him and given him the opportunity to become the one to lead Saul, who became Paul, to Christ. And now 2/3 of the New Testament is going to be reached. The Gentiles are going to be reached because one man obeyed God. When we have vision, we quit worrying about what it looks like now. We quit worrying about where they've been, and we start understanding God's about to do something great. God's about to move them. God, Two months ago, Christina walks in the church. People may have looked at her. Man, she got a tattoo on her neck. Actually, she got a couple of tattoos on her neck. Heard about her. I heard about her. She's got some drug charges. I heard about her. I'm embarrassing the daylights out of her. But you know what? Let me tell you something. God had a vision. And we could have said, we don't want your kind around here. But God opened up some vision. And now 2 months later, she's filled with the Holy Ghost. Go home, praise God. Everywhere she goes, she's sharing the gospel. Everywhere she goes, she's telling people about Jesus. She's challenging Ann and Anna for the loudest voice in church. Yeah! Why? Because there was a vision that went beyond where she was at. We have a lady in our church. Quiet lady. But I don't know how she connected, but she's connected with some rough folks. She's connected with some people that need help. And I stood up here this morning and looked back, and I saw 5 people that pretty much all came with this one lady. None of them are here tonight. I'm going to tell you, the lady doesn't think she does anything. But I looked back and I saw 5 people that came with her today. And I'm not talking about people that are rough. I'm talking about, it's Chillicothe wino section. Okay, let's just be honest. And they're not just here one service. They're here over and over. And oh, we may look at them and sometimes we look at them and go, oh. One of them came to church a few months ago drunk as a skunk. Just, woo, out there, 3 sheets to the wind. I loved it. About a month later, he came back again. And he met me at the door and he says, "Pastor, I came back and this time I'm not drunk." I was like, "Good job." And we've got a choice. Are we going to look at them and say, "Oh man, that's not what we're looking for"? Or are we going to look at them and we're going to have some vision? And understand, there may be a Saul in that group. There may be a Paul in that group. There may be somebody who is so downtrodden, but when they grab a hold of God and they see the light of God and the vision of God begins to flow through them, they may change the world. Why? Because somebody had vision. Too many times we're like Ananias and we don't see what God sees. I've hit drugs. I've hit alcohol. Tell you what, there's people. Oh, yeah. They suffer with depression. Oh, they got mad before. Now, if you've never gotten mad, I want you to stay here. Every one of us got mad. Let's leave. I'm going to tell you, there's going to be some liar sitting in here by themselves. Oh, come on now. They can't stay long because they'll get mad at me for saying that. So anyway, we always have a reason why we don't think. And I hope I don't embarrass anybody. I'm going to tell you, 10 years, 11 years ago, 12 years ago, you can't be a youth pastor's wife. You can't be a worship pastor. Look at you. Somebody had vision and said even though she had thrown it all away, she can have it back. You look at your life. Bounce around house to house, home to home. Don't know what family's like. Oh, you'll never make it. But all of a sudden, vision comes in. God changes everything. Husbands mistreat you. They mistreat you. I'm not going to argue. I've heard some of the stories. God brought you. I'm going to tell you something. I'm going to tell you something. Raised non-Pentecostal. I love this family. Amish, Catholic, almost a nun. Nun? Wow! Who knew they could be filled with the Holy Ghost? And leaders in the church. Somebody had vision. Somebody had vision. I ain't going to talk about Howard. Woo! I ain't talking about him. He scares me still. Even with vision, he scares me. Howard got so much of the light of God in his life, he wears his sunglasses inside. Woo! Let me tell you something. We go around this room. I can tell you my stories, how I lied for no good reason. But somewhere there was a vision. God could see me different than I could see me. God could see things I couldn't see. I go around this room. I can talk about Marilyn. She didn't have the easiest life growing up as a kid. But you know what? God reached in with a vision and said, "I'm going to show you. I'm going to do something in you." See, I got news for you, folks. We can choose to be Ananias in the first part of this story. God, I can't go there. Or we can understand that if we'll be Ananias at the end, we can be a part. I don't hear about Ananias again in the Bible, but here's what I know about Ananias. Somewhere he gave in to God, and because of his touch, we had Paul. You know what I figured out a long time ago? I may not be the one that wins the world, but I may be the one that wins the one that wins the world. I may not be the one that's known all over the place as the greatest preacher in the world. Probably have to become a great preacher to do that. But I may be the one that trains and teach and wins the one that's known as a great preacher. I just want to be Ananias. I want to have vision. Now, Paul can see. And Ananias went his way and entered the house and laying his hands on him said, Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus who appeared, look at all the references to sight. The Lord Jesus who appeared to you on the road as you came has sent me that you may receive your sight and be filled with the Holy Spirit. Immediately there fell from his eyes something like scales and he received his sight at once. And he arose and was baptized. I got news for you. When you come in contact with the baptism and the power of the Holy Ghost, there's going to fall off your face something like scales. You thought you knew what you were talking about. You thought you knew where you were going. You thought you knew what was happening. You thought you could see. But all of a sudden, just like an optometrist will flip some screens in front of you and you'll go, whoa, where did that come from? All of a sudden, God is going to let stuff fall off of your eyes. You're going to quit seeing the world. You're going to quit seeing the pain. You're going to quit seeing the heartache. You're going to quit seeing the sorrow. And all of a sudden, you're going to begin to see the anointing of God in your life. And you're going to begin to move and walk in His presence and in His power. I am tired of walking blind. God, take the scales off my eyes. What are the scales? They can be all kinds of stuff. For Paul, for Saul, the scales were tradition and religion. This is the way we've always done it. We're waiting for the Messiah. He can't be here. Those scales fell off. See, it started with the vision. But now, God's about to stand him up and say, not only are you going to have vision from me, not only are you going to have a vision of me, but you're going to have sight. You're going to see the way I see. You're going to be able to see troubles in churches. You're going to be able to see situations. You're going to be able to see sin. You're going to be able to see direction. You're going to be able to see my call. You're going to be able to see my anointing. You're going to be able to see my power. I've got news for you. I am not satisfied to sit back and hear about God's power. We live in a society that want to be spectators. They want to watch it, but they don't want to see it. They want to come to church and they want the preacher to get excited. They want somebody to go to the altar so they can watch them fall down. But they don't want to see it. They don't want to be in it. But God said when the scales fell off Saul's eyes, he got up and immediately was baptized. He immediately began to step in to what God had. He immediately was submersed into God's power. He immediately went from just hearing about it, went from seeing it here and there, to seeing it firsthand. I got news for you. A picture is great, but when you're there, it's different. When we were in China, we got to the school one morning. And we're getting things ready. And all of a sudden, our translator, Edmund, he come in and he says, Tommy, yeah, you have to look. Look at what? And I'd been in the room 15 minutes. I had taken stuff out of the windows. Edmund comes in and says, you got to look. And I looked out and I saw the most beautiful mountain range I have ever seen in my life. The mountains. Talked to Becky. Becky had never seen it before because the clouds come down and the smog and the fog, you can't see it unless there's been rain, and there had been just enough rain that night. And these mountains stuck up out of the clouds on the horizon. And yet there was a layer of clouds about halfway down the mountains. It looked like mountains in heaven. And I went, ah! I mean, it literally took my breath away. I left Becky and Michael setting up the room, and I went to every one of our American workers. You have to go. I know you're busy, but you got to go see this. And I had a couple, oh. And they didn't leave what they were doing, but I had a few others that went around, okay. And then they come back, oh, that was awesome. And I've got pictures on my phone. I've got the pictures. A bunch of them. And the pictures are gorgeous, but they don't touch what I saw. We kept looking at each other going, these pictures don't do justice to what I saw. Now, a lot of us are living on pictures of a move of God. We're living on snapshots of what God's doing in other people. But I'm telling you, when you get up and begin to move and let God knock the scales off your eyes, you're going to see something more beautiful than you've ever known. It's worth more than just sitting back and watching. Saul can see. Now, all can see. Look at this. So when he had received food, he was strengthened. Then Saul spent some days with the disciples at Damascus. Immediately he preached the Christ in the synagogues, that he is the Son of God. He went from searching for those in the way to being one of those in the way. Then all who heard him were amazed and said, "Is this not he who destroyed those who called on this name in Jerusalem and has come here for that purpose so that he might bring them bound to the chief priest?" But Saul increased all the more in strength and confounded the Jews who dwelt in Damascus. Listen to this. Proving that Jesus is Christ. When the scales fell off his eyes, he began to walk out with an authority and with an anointing and with a power of sight. He could see what God wanted him to do. He could see where God wanted him to be. And all of a sudden now, everybody that came around him began to see that Jesus was the Christ. You want to know how to reach others? You want to know how to evangelize? You want to know how to win other people to Jesus Christ? Start to see him. I'm going to tell you. We had a good service tonight. I watched it. It was nice. Preacher got all sweaty and loud. They had to bring him water halfway through. He's about to lose his voice. I was there. I saw it. You may have saw it, but you didn't see it. Because when you see it, you leave with a fire, and it quits being about a good service or a bad service, a loud service or a quiet service, a fast service or a slow service. It quits being about who fell down and who stood up and who cried and who shouted and who ran, and it starts being about who touched. See, y'all know me. I'm all about the shout. I like the prayer. Well, I like it when it gets loud. I like all that stuff. But if that's all it's about, we're not seeing it. We're not seeing it until we start understanding it. It's about him. It's not about what happens in an altar. It's about what we carry out of here. It's about how we take that and move it into the streets. How we take that and we move it into the highways and byways. It's about what we take out that we have seen so that other people can see. I don't understand. I don't understand myself. I don't understand you. We We can come to church. We can hoot and holler. We can shout and run the aisles. Fall out in spirit, dance in spirit, run in spirit, speak in other tongues. And notice I said, I don't understand me or you. Because then all of us, we walk right outside that door and we don't say anything. Outside, well, that was nice. That was fun. You know what the problem is? We ain't seeing. When you get somebody that sees it, they go everywhere. Get somebody that sees it. Some of us old timers go, man, they're just annoying. Wish they'd settle down. When they get a little older and more mature in God, they'll calm down a little bit. You know what that means? That means they're dying. I got news for you. I said, I'm picking on Christina tonight. I'm sorry. I'm sitting at camp meeting that was it last week? That was just a week ago, or is it 2 weeks ago? Whenever. I was sitting at camp meeting. Yeah, it was 2 weeks ago. I was sitting at camp meeting, and I'm sitting there, and you know, all of a sudden, there's Christina sitting next to Anna. I mean, sitting next to Ann, and Anna's up front, and preacher's preaching, and every once in a while I hear, well, and I hear Ann, ha ha, it's her little laugh, and yes! And then all of a sudden, right there next to him, there's Christina. Hey, man, yes! I leaned over Beth. I said, isn't it fun to watch new Christians following some of those that like to be loud? It's exciting. You know what's happened? She's seen something. She's seen something. You know what's wrong with us? We've quit seeing. You know what's wrong with us? We've quit looking. Because if we look for it, we might see it. And if we see it, we might have to change. I'm pretty satisfied with where I'm at. And if I see something else, I'm going to have to change where I'm at. Church, I've come by here to tell you, we're not here to be blind. That old faithful song says, I once was blind, but now I see. You know why I see? Because of His amazing grace. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. I once was blind, but now I see. I want to see. I want to see what God has. I want to see what God can do. Not just a touch, not just a feeling, not just a shout. I want to see Him move in my life. I want to see Him turn me upside down. I want to see Him change the way I talk. I want to see Him change what I look at. I want to see Him change what I read, what I watch. I want to see the world like He sees the world. Man, I want to see the world the way He sees the world. This afternoon, just before I came to church, I was scrolling through Facebook, and Becky Minnick had tagged me in a post. I pulled it up, and it was Pastor Jennifer from Lighthouse Ministries. And she posted that after 9 years of laying seed and teaching at English camp in China, which is where me and Michael went this year, where Jonan went a couple years ago, and Becky's been 3 times. After 9 years, one of the students, who's now a teenager, was baptized today in a bathtub in China. When I watched that video, I didn't see some girl sitting in a bathtub praying as they sang a song of praise and they baptized her in that bathtub. That's not what I saw. I saw 9 years of people trying to see things that couldn't be seen. you can't go into China and teach children about Jesus. You have to go in and teach them about the wise teacher. Can't use words like missionary. You have to use words like hero. You can't do what we're doing. Let's be honest, it's actually illegal. But one lady saw what couldn't be seen. One little Chinese lady from Wuhan after the earthquake in Sichuan, Mazu City, said, I've got to go help them. And she saw what nobody else could see. And now there is a harvest being reached in children and in teenagers and in parents. Why? Because somebody had a vision. Somebody could see. What will be said about us? Had a good church. Their preacher was fun to listen to. Their music was good. But they kept to themselves. Or will they say, don't know much about the preacher, don't know much about the music, but they could see their community. They could see hurt. They could see those in need, and they reached out to them. I don't want to be a blind church. I want to see. How do we become a church that sees? I can tell you what it's not. It's not a program. It's not a class. It's not a pastor. It's when each one of us starts saying, God, open my eyes. I'm going to tell you the one you may need to see. It may be one of the ones that come in and they're rough. They need help. They're a Christina, or they're one of these that were here today. It may be Johnny that we need to see. I love Johnny. Johnny's sort of quiet. Comes in, but I'm telling you, he's here all the time. Anytime you need anything, he's right there. He's the type that can slip in and out of a church and nobody ever notices him. But if we see him, we can see the power of God in him. You may need to see somebody in your life that you think's got it all together. It's probably just an act. But when you start to ask God to let you see the way he sees, see the way he sees. I'm going to do an altar call. And I'm going to have you come up for prayer. But I'm going to tell you, I'm not having you come up to pray for yourself. I'm having you come up to pray for your sight. Some of you are going to get blessed tonight. Some of you are going to feel those doodads tonight. Some of you may shout. Some of you may fall on the floor. That's all well and good, but that ain't what I'm looking for. I want scales to fall off your eyes. I don't want you walking out here seeing things the way you've always seen them. I want you to walk out of here seeing God, seeing God's plan, seeing God's call, because you're going to look at people you would never look at twice, and you're going to see something in them. And God's going to send a victory and a power and an anointing. I want a church full of Ananiases who move from doubt and start saying, okay, God, I will see the way you see. You see something in Saul, I just see his past, but I'm going to trust you. That's what's happening with Rose Danner. She's the one bringing all these people in. She had five with her today. She still, to this day, I wish she was here so I could tell her. She still, to this day, doesn't think she does anything. She walked in with a whole line of people behind her today. You know why? Because she sees something in them. She sees something. It doesn't scare her. You know what would happen if every one of us started seeing something in people? We wouldn't have enough seats for this church. Praise God. I like that. If you didn't hear me, he said this church would be completely full, even the stage. I want to tell you something. We would have what we're looking for. Tonight is our night to let scales fall off. Some of you got scales about people here in the church. Well, now I know we're all part of the body of Christ, but that one's not right. That one I don't like. Come on. We need the scales to fall off. I'm going to tell you, there's enough of us here. Our personalities are not all going to mesh together. We're going to have different ideas and different views and different, but when we start to see why, the way Christ sees, we find unity in our differences. Yeah. Yeah. I'm going to pray. And here's what I'm going to ask. I want to ask you to be honest. I'm not going to embarrass you. I'm not going. I'm going to let God deal with it. Let me put this. I'm going to let God deal with you. Okay? It's not my issue. But I only want you to get up and come to the front of this church if you're really, really ready to let the scales fall off and God, let me see the way you see. Let me see with the love, the compassion, the empathy, the mercy, and the grace the way you see. Because if you don't have that, you can't ever go pray for Saul. And if you don't have that, you can't go pray for the ones you wanted to arrest and kill. I've told many people over and over again, you can't help somebody you're trying to kill. It's been a common line in my vocabulary. You can't help somebody you're trying to kill. I'm going to tell you something. When you let the scales fall off, everything changes. So when I pray this prayer, if you're really ready for that, Pastor, I don't know if I'm ready for that or not. You know what? God will deal with that. But right now, I want those that are serious in this altar. I want those that are serious. So if you're serious, as I pray, I want you to come and stand across the front of this church. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, right now, I believe that you're about to pull some scales off some lives. You're about to open some eyes in ways and means that we can't even fathom. You're going to let us see things that we never thought we could see. You're going to show us things that we didn't think we could see. Lord, you're going to bring back vision and direction and power. And Lord, I want you right now to send your victory, send your power. And Lord, as I begin to pray with these, Lord, I want you to let the scales fall off their eyes. I want you to let the scales fall off of their eyes and let them see what you have called them to be. Let them see the world the way you see the world. Let them see their brothers and sisters the way you see them. Let them see the sinners the way you see them. Let them see society the way you see them. Lord, what moves you, let it move them. What hurts you, let it hurt them. Lord, what encourages you, let it encourage them. Lord, give them sight. Lord, right now, I want you just begin to praise God and ask Him to give you His eyes.